It's the Pulse of New Hampshire. I'm J-Dog, and joining me right now is a true renaissance man, Renaissance, in addition to being an author, as well as being an entrepreneur, as well as an athlete, and also an advocate for education, also an advocate for above-the-neck general health and wellness. He is also a swell dancer, a neat dresser, and also a baseball awards presenter, a doting grandfather, loving husband, and fantastic father. He is the president and CEO of Northeast Delta Dental and the host of Northeast Delta Dental Radio, Eddie Papowski's number one fan. He is Mr. Tom Raphael. Tom, how are you today?
Thank you, Jay. I'm doing wonderfully, and I got to take you everywhere I go. And of course, above the neck health is really the topic of today. So let me get right going and introduce Dr. Christina Schultz, who is a dentist in the Hanover, New Hampshire area. Dr. Schultz, thank you for joining me on Northeast Delta Dental Radio.
Thank you so much for having me again.
And we'll definitely focus a lot of our time on veterans' dental health. But how about starting with your background again and how you landed eventually in Hanover and then how you started to really think about the veterans' dental care?
So my background is in prosthetics, specifically the prosthetics related to dentistry. And so that specialty is termed prosthodontics. So the dentics is tooth related, and again, prosthetics relating to anything from kind of maxillofacial defects, recreation of ears, noses, replacement of the roof of your mouth, to dentures and other complex kind of full mouth rehabilitation. So prior to coming to New Hampshire, I was actually in the military myself. So this is a topic that's pretty close to my heart, being able to see it not only within the military setting, but also wanting to care for that population as they exit their own service. How do we provide that ongoing care for and service to those who've served our country? And so I was in the Air Force for 6 years, and that was a great experience that I think set me up for a lot of success in the civilian sector, being able to translate and bring that knowledge forward to provide the best care here.
Well, first, thank you for your service to our country. As you know better than anybody, there's a relatively small percentage of people that have served our country. So thank you so much. And that's a nice segue into maybe giving us the background on the current state of dental services for veterans. And people that have listened to my show know that in general, to get served by the VA, you know, you need to be the fully disabled or POW or had some war related, you know, dental injury. And then there are very few veterans that are actually, you know, eligible for Medicaid, which is why we set up a whole separate program at Delta Dental. But what's your sort of background on how we got to this position?
Yeah. So I think that the general population is used to seeing a dentist on every corner. Even in a rural setting, there's multiple dentists within my vicinity that can provide care to the civilian population. I'm blessed to be in an area that, generally speaking, there's kind of high investment, high value in oral health. When you're in the military setting, there is this requirement. So we're compelled by the rules to receive annual updates. So a minimum exam and cleaning as part of kind of ongoing requirements. However, that guidance, right, is lost as soon as you step out of that uniform. And so even though it is a small percentage of our population, I best numbers I know is less than 1% actually wear the uniform in our country. When we talk about global numbers, we're still having a few people, a few facilities trying to serve a large number of individuals who, at least up here, are geographically dispersed. And so some of the challenges faced are how do those individuals actually reach a point of access, a point of care? And are the providers there capable to do kind of all that is asked of them? So I think right now we're asking the current providers to, you know, put on capes and be a jack of all trades and something to everyone. And I can imagine that they are stretched thin. That's kind of been my observation from the outside looking in, because I am not currently active within the VA setting. I'm an adjacent figure trying to reach in and help out where I can.
Great, great background there. And yeah, so the VA guidelines would require a literally act of Congress to change. And of course, our congressional delegation is aware of it, but it's a very complex challenge. And then, as you point out, staffing, because if all of a sudden 9 out of 10 veterans were eligible for the VA as opposed to 1 out of 9, there may not be enough dentists at the different VA facilities to handle it. So then you still would have an access issue. So it's a long-term, first of all, the need for congressional action, but then, building up the VA. So what do you think we should do? As you know, I'm on a Veterans Affairs Steering Committee, and we're constantly reminding veterans, a few of you are eligible for Medicaid, a few of you are eligible for the VA, and if not, call Delta Dental, literally me directly. And then Dr. Mitch Correa and I talk to the veteran, and then farming out to dentists who we pay, but on a discounted basis, because our board has allocated $300,000 to this, and the need is endless, or seems to be. And over the years, we've invested, $1 million in this. So I know there are a lot of dentists like you that see veterans quietly, but what's your take on how we improve this?
Oh man, that's a big question for a segment. But I think that you correctly noted that if you were to kind of swing the doors wide open and invite everyone in who has served, I mean, the tidal wave, right? And that's what at least viscerally kind of comes to mind, to say, what would that look like? And would we kind of drown on our own desire to serve? I imagine that there isn't the facilities, there isn't the resources, there isn't the bodies in order to meet that without some type of ramping up, some type of forward thoughtfulness of how would that look. And to reposture something that is kind of as big as a federally funded program or facility, I mean, that in itself is a challenge, right? Or it would have already been done by now in order to meet the need. And so I think these kind of questions require a creative ask. I think that it is requiring people to say, well, why not? And my approach to that has been, well, why not partner with local private practitioners who, one, maybe have the desire, the ability to be more flexible, more creative, different resources, right? Instead of trying to reposture the big animal, why don't we align with kind of the smaller ships that have a little bit more maneuverability. Those who are able to leverage technology in order to provide care, maybe on a shorter timeline, but shorter doesn't necessarily mean sacrificing quality of care. Have flexibility in their schedule to see maybe veterans in, I saw somebody this morning who had exceptional needs and required flexibility. So I think that the answer I have is to start asking, well, why not? And maybe searching out things that are non-traditional. And yes, along with that, we will stumble. We'll find a whole bunch of things that don't work. But, we might find some things that do work as well and can be a template for other places around the country. No, I don't know if that is enough to be confusing, but
it's going to take a lot of these efforts. So you mentioned the fairly qualified health centers, the individual practitioners like you that are willing to see veterans, and then the few that can actually go to the VA. It's definitely going to take, all of that. I know in my own experience, when I appear on the radio and talk about our program, which is, again, if you're not eligible for the VA or Medicaid, you just give me a call, 223-1300, I get 10 calls, that day. So it is definitely something that we need a longer term solution. But in the meantime, there are terrific people like you, Dr. Schultz, that are, that are in their own world are addressing it. Now, in your overall practice, now you mentioned where you practice in the Hanover Upper Valley area. There is recognition of the importance of oral health. So do you, how are you with hygienist staffing? I know one of the things that we recently did was gave a $500,000 grant to NHGI to, you know, expand their program to get more hygienists up there. Has the hygienist shortage impacted your ability to see as many patients as you'd like to?
Oh, absolutely. I think everybody in the dental community right now is really feeling that pain. Hygiene is a cornerstone of any dental practice, right? Prevention prior to treatment. Let's preserve what remains before we try to replace what is missing. And it's one of the avenues in which we bring patients back into the fold and check in with them, not just for treatment needs, but ongoing oral health awareness, right? What is their home care? How can we improve some of those big value adds? What are other types of assistance and aids can we give to patients so that our dental treatment visits are short and as infrequent as possible? I truthfully don't know a single dentist in the Northeast who I've spoken to who isn't experiencing those staffing shortages. And so trying to look at what's to come, I don't think it's going to be a self-resolving issue. Certainly numbers, recruitment of people to these more rural areas is going to be a part of it. Showing them that there's value to be brought into this. But I don't have that solution. It's one that I'm trying to think through myself and how do we innovate through it?
All right, let's pause there and you and I will do some brainstorming after the break. I see Jay. So isn't this interesting? You all, Jay, until you started to hang out with me, you thought dental and dental insurance was boring, but it's not, as you heard from Dr. Schiltz.
Correct. No, it's not boring. Not at all. Dr. Christina Schiltz, DDS, is the guest this week on Northeast Delta Dental Radio. You can book an appointment, by the way, by logging on to schiltzdds.com. That's S-C-H-I-L-T-Z-D-D-S.com. You can also call 603-643-8300. Again, 603-643-8300. When we return, more of Northeast Delta Dental Radio here on the Pulse of New Hampshire. It's the Pulse of New Hampshire. I'm Jay Dogg. This week's guest on Northeast Delta Dental Radio with Tom Raffio is Dr. Christina Schiltz, DDS, in the Upper Valley of New Hampshire. You can log on to schiltzdds.com. That's S-C-H-I-L-T-Z-D-D-S.com. You can also call 603-643-8300, talking not just dental insurance and the practice, but also the programs that are offered through schiltzdds.com as well.
Thanks, Jay. So Dr. Schiltz, let's take another step back. So how did you, you served in the Air Force. Thank you. Terrific. How did you then end up in the Upper Valley in Hanover?
This was one of those opportunities that found me. And at a time in my life that I think that I was open enough to reach out and grab it. I think big shifts in your life require courage, courage to pursue the unknown, courage to try something different. And it was kind of that the stars aligned for me. And I decided to see what life would bring me in the Northeast. I'm originally from Iowa. And although I served in multiple locations across the country, this was my first time living in New Hampshire.
So do you still have family back in Iowa?
I do. So when I came here, I didn't know anyone. I'm so sorry.
Dude, I'm sure you make it back there. Some of my best Delta Dental friends are from Delta Dental of Iowa. It's a nice state. So let's brainstorm together, as I mentioned, on the staffing shortages as it relates to hygienists and dental assistants. So how do you think the shortage happened? And obviously more graduates, more hygienists graduating will help in the long run, but in the short run, it still puts, you know, pressure, you know, on your appointments. As I tell my Medicaid member friends, you know, like if you randomly called a dentist in New Hampshire who's taking Medicaid, it might be 9 months before you can get a cleaning appointment, but that's not actually too dissimilar to the million members that we have with our traditional dental insurance. You know, people with traditional dental insurance tend to already have a dental home, so they're okay. But sometimes we bring on a new group that never had dental insurance before, and most of those employees hadn't been going to the dentist, because without dental insurance, people generally don't go to the dentist as much. And they have difficulties finding a dentist who can, you know, do a cleaning with, you know, within a month. So is that kind of where you see things? I mean, like, and you just take your example in your practice, like if someone who's not a current patient called your office and wanted an evaluation and cleaning, would that be 6 months out, or what do you think?
In my office, it would be probably less than 2 weeks. And that is important because I personally leaned in. So for new patients who come in, I try to do their cleaning at the same time that I do a comprehensive evaluation. For me, it's an opportunity to get to know that patient, find out about what are their concerns globally with dentistry, what are their drivers, what brought them in. I would say insurance is your golden ticket, right? But just because you have it, you still have to show up somewhere that's able to provide that service and care. So that is one way in which I have tried to solve that. I don't like to treat strangers. So by having that first introductory appointment into my office, it's a way that I truly get to know everybody, that they're just not being shoveled past me into the hygiene chair. I think that also helps with our kind of an enduring relationship, right? So when a treatment need does emerge, there is some credibility, there is some social currency between us. And I understand that patient better. I understand their drivers. I have heard for other offices, it might be a bit longer than that timeline. However, I think that's dependent on how they're structuring their own schedules. So I don't know, you know, if I would be able to provide that for every patient who might call after this radio program in order to get a cleaning. But it's one way in which I try to allocate my own schedule to meet that need.
That's terrific. So as I mentioned before the break, we recently did a $500,000 grant to NHGI, and I was over there meeting some of the soon-to-be graduates. It was 36 of them, all energized and, you know, seemingly ready to roll. Obviously, they have to take boards and stuff like that. But I think when they get it into the New Hampshire marketplace, you know, that'll help things. And as you may know, that they're changing the program from 2 years to 3 years because they learned that most of the hygienists were spending 4 years at NHGI college anyway, and they didn't have a dental identity until like year three. And so by making it a three-year program, it gives the candidates a dental identity so they can, when they go home to mom and dad and they say, I'm going to become a dental hygienist, the mom and dad are way more supportive than if they're saying they're taking general ed courses. So there's a lot of things that NHGI is doing to make sure that the students graduate. It's a rigorous program. I know that, you know, there's a certain amount of people that, you know, that drop out, but the ones that do graduate are, you know, pretty amazing. How about dental assistants? Now that there, you don't have to necessarily go to school. The dentist can actually train. I know we have some dental offices in our network that sort of certify dental assistants. For your dental assistants, where do you find them?
Some of them have been through a traditional marketplace, so advertisement. I think that I personally shifted my approach in the past year from experience to aptitude. Although myself and my hygienist require licensure, as you mentioned, a certain amount of dental assisting is on the job experience and then credentialing through those hours spent chairside through the certification that you mentioned. And so kind of shifting trajectory to say, what is the aptitude of an individual to treat patients, to provide that care at a level that is commensurate with my practice? And then how do I then translate that into a dental assisting? I think searching analogous networks, so analogous careers such as nursing. Are there any nurses who might want to transition? And maybe that's taboo to say because nurses are incredibly valuable and needed in their own career fields, but it's about taking care of people, right? And then being creative and being innovative, and how do I bring somebody who is amazing at taking care of people and then translating that into a dental skill set? And so I think for myself, I'm trying to ask that question, well, why not? Instead of saying, well, that's not how it's done, but why not? And I think that's how we have to kind of change our posture to look and ask these questions to ourselves.
I had a dentist friend that said that he's hired a couple dental assistants who were bartenders because of their interpersonal skills.
Yeah.
And then he trained them, obviously, and got them certified to be a dental assistant. So you're right. It is, in the case of dental assistants, which doesn't require, you know, a license, you know, it is, do you have the people skills, and, you know, reliability. So anyway, interesting. Now, getting back to the veterans. So when a veteran contacts your office, is there a special protocol you go through? Obviously you'd mentioned before the break that some of the veterans, you know, may have fairly unique dental issues, particularly if they haven't been to the dentist in a long time because they can't be served the VA. But do you have a separate protocol for veterans who may contact your office?
Yes, and unfortunately right now, veterans are making their way to my clinic through the VA. And I say it's unfortunate because we identify that they have their own bottlenecks within their system. And one of them is reliant on a medical professional to have the sensitivity and the awareness that there is a dental need. And even before that, you need the veteran to have the awareness that something is worthy of going in and requesting an evaluation. So you have a couple of barriers to access and to care. One is knowledge that something is going on with yourself, to advocate for yourself, to get that medical appointment. And then for that medical provider to then send a referral request to me, that tends to be somewhat vague and say, we know something's going on, you know, please diagnose. And then during that appointment or following up, I basically send a request for care. And so there is a little bit of a delay in treatment. And I think everyone does the best they can, but that is a challenge that we face, is how do we provide in real time care to people? Because oftentimes by the time they reach me, it is not the first, second, or third day that they might be experiencing dental pain. And so to delay treatment beyond that initial evaluation, sometimes it's hard, but it's at this time, it's the only way that the veteran can get VA support, is if we follow kind of directives and care that is authorized by the VA. And so that's one of the barriers, is do they have access to my clinic, not just once, but twice, and the procedures that I'm allowed to do on that particular visit or day.
I commend you. I mean, this is terrific. I see Jay here, so we'll need to wrap up. But in 30 seconds, just generally, do you still view dentistry as a wonderful profession?
I do. It's an interesting time to be in dentistry, right? Because we're taking on so many unique challenges that I don't think were faced before, not just in staffing and how do we recreate roles or innovate fields like hygiene that maybe haven't really been innovated since ultrasonic cleaners came out. How do we leverage technology? How do you learn the technology and identify where to best insert it in your practice? And on top of all that, you're still supposed to be a clinician and a business owner and somehow make all the numbers work at the end of the day.
And heal people. No, it's great. I'm happy you answered it that way, because when I do ask that question, It's great for me to hear that, you know, dentists still love their profession and know that there is more to do. So Jay, I'm going to turn it back to you and give out Dr. Schiltz's information.
Thank you, Tom. Dr. Christina Schiltz, DDS, the guest on Northeast Delta Dental Radio this week. It's schiltzdds.com to book an appointment, get more information. It's schiltzdds.com or call 603-643-8300. Another edition of Northeast Delta Dental Radio is coming to a close. We're going to have another edition next time here on the Pulse of New Hampshire, so fear not, we will be back. For Dr. Christina Schiltz, DDS, as well as Tom Raffio, the president and CEO of Northeast Delta Dental and the host of Northeast Delta Dental Radio, I'm J-Dog, and we'll be back next time here with Northeast Delta Dental Radio here on the Pulse of New Hampshire.